This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFK. If you're not already a member, consider joining with us and keep free speech alive.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle with you.
Yes, indeed, here I am stuck in the middle with you, Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative citizen journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and if I say so myself, all-around swell fellow. Here now with you, 3:30 Pacific time on Wednesdays, right here on KPFK, 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, 98.7 Santa Barbara, 93.7 San Diego, and 99.5 FM in China Lake. Glad to be here with you. We've got some very serious news that continues to break out of Fukushima today, as it has been for the last 5 days. We're going to be talking about that for the rest of this half hour, the rest of this 30 minutes. We're going to be joined in a little bit by my friend, investigative journalist Greg Palast, who has an interesting take on all of this from his own experience investigating these companies, some of the very same companies that built the plant, the nuclear plant that is now, you want to say melting down, but you got to be very careful with that sort of word, that is spiraling somewhat out of control. And out of control today, that was the words that were used by the head of the European Energy Commission, and that sent stocks spiraling out of control this morning. He came back to say, well, I didn't mean out of control. I just meant it's very critical. It's very serious, but I don't have any other information other than what you've heard in the news. So stocks rebounded. And, of course, that's the most important thing, at least if you listen to Lawrence Kudlow over there on CNBC. Monday, when he said, the human tragedy will be much worse than the economic tragedy, and for that, we can be grateful. Lawrence Kudlow on CNBC. Things, as I say right now, are very critical indeed, and they may well be getting worse. And I'm going to take you through exactly what's been going on there over the past 4 or 5 days and bring you up to date as to where we are right now. But very quickly, I want to give my thanks to Harrison, my friend Harrison, who can now be heard on Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. You may have heard me, Brad Friedman, on Wednesdays, sitting in with Harrison for the last few months, and I was delighted to be able to do that, and now delighted to follow Al Jazeera on Wednesdays, right here on KPFK, every week. It's appointment listening, says me. If you don't know me, I'm the blogger from bradblog.com, investigative journalist and troublemaker and everything else. And for the last 4 or now 5 days, I want to say almost 24 hours around the clock, I have been following this story out of Fukushima. It is absolutely extraordinary, and it was clearly made extraordinary on Friday night after the earthquake and the tsunami hit. Of course, most of the news was drawn to the interest in the earthquake itself and the extraordinary pictures from the tsunami. But there was a little noticed comment, apparently little noticed, at least by the American media, by the U.S. media. But I noticed it. Friday night, late, Tokyo Electric Power Company had said that some 11 plants were shut down, nuclear plants, nuclear reactors around the country because of the earthquake, automatically shut down. However, they said that one of the reactors at the Fukushima plant in Daiichi, the cooling was, quote, not going as planned. And that was, as far as I could tell, the understatement of the year, frankly, that the cooling was not going as planned. I immediately went into a 24-hour vigil on this story to try to figure out what not going as planned meant. It took another 24 or 48 hours even for the rest of the U.S. media, it seems, and even the world media, to jump in and start covering this story. So let me try to bring you up to date on where we are at this hour, and where we may be going, and where we may be going in the future beyond that. And that's what we're going to be talking with Greg Palast about in a little bit. All right, first, just to try to make sense of this story. It's been very difficult to make sense of this story, frankly, because it's moving so quickly, and by the time you get on the web or even onto CNN... onto CNN to read about some of this stuff or to watch some of this stuff, it's already outdated. So let me give you a very quick idea what we're dealing with when you hear these terms thrown around as far as what is going on at this nuclear plant at Fukushima Daiichi. All right, each of these reactors, there's a total of 6 reactors at this plant, and each of the reactors have their own set of protections, if you will, some of which we are now learning have been breached. So just to give you an idea of the structure of these nuclear reactors, just in case you're not a nuclear engineer out there, I'll try to put these into very basic terms. You've got the fuel pellets. These are the usually uranium. Some of them include plutonium. But these small fuel pellets are inside of zirconium rods. Those rods are then placed into steel vessels. Those steel vessels, those container vessels, are now filled with water. And finally, these steel vessels are in a concrete enclosure containment. Okay. And, well, lastly, I shouldn't say finally, because lastly then, the whole thing is in a building meant to keep out the weather. It's not necessarily meant to protect anybody from any radiation or anything else. It's meant to keep the reactor protected from the snow and the rain and so forth and so on. Okay. So Friday, we get the news from Tokyo Electric Power Company, TEPCO, that the cooling is not going as planned at one of those reactors. On Saturday, then, we have an explosion at Unit 1. That's a hydrogen explosion, and that, we're told, occurred because they were trying to vent off the steam from Unit 1 after the cooling system had failed in the earthquake and the subsequent tsunami. So they were venting off the radioactive steam, which has a hydrogen component in it. When the hydrogen meets the oxygen, boom, it explodes. When it exploded at Unit 1, the hydrogen explosion, that meant that it caused the system, the cooling system, the emergency cooling system at Unit 3 to then fail. That was Saturday. On Sunday, Unit 3 then has a hydrogen explosion. And in that hydrogen explosion, it damaged the cooling system at Unit 2 next door. And we were told later that the rods there, the fuel rods, were fully exposed for a number of hours, which is a very serious situation. Okay, so at that point, units 1, 2, and 3, those are the operational ones at the plant, though they had been shut down, though the reaction had been stopped when the earthquake happened, the cooling system had failed on eventually all 3 units. That's Sunday. Let's move forward to Monday now. Monday, we get word that Unit 2 had exploded, and that containment vessel, and it's still unclear whether it was the steel container vessel or the concrete containment around that, had been damaged. Very little details had come out about Unit 2 until Prime Minister Naoto Kan and the Chief Government Spokesman Yukio Adano came out Monday night, this is in the U.S. Monday night, to give a press conference, a very disturbing press conference where they asked people, oh, don't be alarmed, everything is okay. However, radiation levels are very high and we are expanding the evacuation zone to 20 kilometers. Everyone within 20 kilometers needs to leave. Everyone who lives within 20 kilometers and 30 kilometers of the Fukushima Daiichi plant needs to stay indoors, turn off their air conditioner, their ventilation system, stay indoors. If you've got laundry outside, leave it outside. The radiation level had risen to the point where the 800 workers at the Fukushima plant had to be evacuated. All but 50 of them were evacuated. All right, those 50 were left behind, and those are quickly becoming known as the Fukushima 50, or the Faceless 50, because we don't know who these people are, but they are bravely trying to keep all of those reactor systems cool and under control. When Kahn and Adano came out with their press conference on Monday, they also announced that there was a fire in Unit 4. Unit 4 had previously been offline for maintenance prior to the earthquake and tsunami. It had spent fuel rods in there, and they had believed had also caught fire around the same time as the Unit 2 explosion. Now, Unit 4 is a little bit different because those rods in there are spent fuel rods. They are not inside the containers we talked about, not inside that steel container vessel, not inside that concrete enclosure, but rather sitting in a pool of water. At least they were in a pool of water. We then began to get word that the pool of water in Unit 4 was running out. At that same press conference then, we were told that heat was also growing in units 5 and 6. Those units were also taken offline prior to the earthquake. So, units 1, 2, and 3 all facing explosions. Unit 4, we don't know if it was an explosion. Actually, I think we have since learned that it was an explosion. It was certainly smoking. It was certainly on fire. The fire then went out, we are told, by itself, although the following day, yesterday, Tuesday, that fire apparently reignited, and we're getting word that, in fact, as the heat was rising in reactors 4, 5, and 6, that the water had run out in Unit 4. Unfortunately, radiation levels had gotten so high at the plant that, as of last night, they had to pull out all of the workers, except for a very small control crew, but they were unable to fight the fire in 4. They were unable to continue the pumping of seawater, which was the emergency measure that was taken to cool all of these plants, certainly units 1, 2, and 3, after the earthquake and the tsunami hit. Then we move to today, Wednesday. We hear that damage to the reactor core, according to the International Atomic Energy Agency Director General Yukio Amano, we hear that the damage to the core now exists in units 1, 2, and 3. Those are those first ones. Those are the ones that were online, that were taken offline when the earthquake hit. And that the Unit 4 spent fuel rod pools are out of water. That is according to the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, with plumes of smoke again streaming as of last night, and we get word today, plumes of smoke streaming out of Unit 3. Within the last hour or two now, the UN has called an emergency meeting as the crisis has deepened. This, according to Bloomberg, the United Nations Nuclear Agency will call an emergency meeting to discuss the crisis in Japan as a breach at the stricken Fukushima Daiichi plant increased the risk of a radioactive leak. IAEA Chief Yukio Amano is flying to Tokyo to talk with authorities today. Will return for the meeting as soon as possible. He told reporters in Vienna yesterday, and he said that this will be the first extraordinary meeting of the agency's 35-member board since his election to succeed Mohamed El-Baradei at the IAEA 2 years ago. Now, the latest understatement we received from TEPCO, the Tokyo Electric Power Company, is that the, quote, possibility of recriticality is not near zero. Okay. That would be, once again, the understatement of the year. The possibility of recriticality not near zero. These are the same folks who earlier on said on Friday that the cooling was not going as planned. It has been very difficult keeping up with this story, and the reason I wanted to step you through all of those points and where we are at this moment is because it's been very difficult to keep up with this because TEPCO is giving very little information, often contradictory information to the Japanese government, to the point that 2 days ago, Prime Minister Kahn set up a joint task force, finally, between the government and TEPCO to try to get better information out to the public quickly. And to some extent, they have succeeded in doing that. To other extents, we're still having contradictory information at various points, whether it comes from Tokyo Electric Power Company or comes from the government. It is very difficult to see what is going on here. A lot of that surely has to do with the fact that there is so little access to the plant. Those workers who were, that skeleton crew, was all that was left there after there was originally 50 left there, and they were pulled out, except for a skeleton crew. Those 50, we believe, have returned. Now the question is, how do you put out the fire, or how do you cool down Unit 4? And they were talking about bringing in helicopters for airdrops. That, for the moment, has been postponed due to the dangers of, yes, flying through the steam, the radiation that is now coming out of these plants by the helicopter pilots. And that was something that back in Chernobyl, those helicopter pilots who tried to deal with that situation back in Chernobyl 25 years ago next month, by the way, just in case God thinks we didn't get the message. Those helicopter pilots were severely hurt in doing that work. So they're being very careful about sending them back in to Fukushima to do similar work. They're talking about setting up water cannons to try to cool down Unit 4. As I said, very difficult making sense of this situation. I've been trying to follow it around the clock. A lot of the coverage that I've been able to do and the things that I have been able to learn, I've been on Twitter doing, actually. It's been very helpful, able to hear directly from folks on the ground, reporters on the ground near Fukushima. You can follow my coverage there, by the way, if you're on the Twitters, at The Brad Blog, where I'm covering it 24/7, and of course I'm covering it as well as I can over at bradblog.com, giving you live coverage there as it comes out, as we have the press conferences by the Prime Minister and by the Chief Government Spokesman Adano and so forth. Okay, that gets us up to date. Actually, there's one piece that I do want to give you. Travel warnings. Evacuation warnings have been given by dozens of countries now to get out of Tokyo, which is some 180 miles away from Fukushima to the south. Radiation levels have begun to rise there. They are mild right now at this time, but countries such as France and Great Britain have advised their nationals to leave Tokyo if possible, or to head to the south of the country. On the other hand, the U.S. has said, well, as long as you're not within 50 miles of the Fukushima plant, you should be okay. If you're within 50 miles, please stay indoors or try to evacuate and move to the south. So the other countries of the world, much more concerned about it seems, than the U.S. And the U.S., frankly, more concerned about it than Japan seems, because as of right now, their evacuation zone only goes out about 20 kilometers, which is about 12 miles. Okay. That's where we are. That's what we're dealing with. That's what we're trying to unwind here tonight, trying to make sense of. And it is no easy task making sense of what the Tokyo Electric Power Company has to say, TEPCO. And as if that is all not troubling enough, as if what's going on in Fukushima right now is not troubling enough, our friends from TEPCO may be moving into these United States of America. And for that, I will be joined now by my friend Greg Pallas, the muckraking investigative BBC journalist, author of Armed Madhouse. And in this case, he speaks as a lead investigator in several government nuclear plant fraud and racketeering investigations. Hey, Greg, welcome to KPFK, sir.
Glad to be back with you, Brad.
Good to have you back. Wish it was a more fun topic here tonight. All right, Greg Pallas, give me some idea of the work that you did as an investigator into these nuclear plant fraud and various schemes.
Well, of course, most KPFK listeners know me as a reporter for BBC Television.
Yep.
But before I was a reporter, I had a real job. I was an investigator. Investigator mainly in the power and utility industry, concentrating on nuclear plants, and I ran the America's biggest racketeering case for the government against the builder of the Shoreham nuclear plant in New York. We got a $4 billion verdict against those characters. Well, they're not really gone. the power plant was dismantled after we uncovered all the safety violations. And the company was put out of business.
Mm-hmm.
But not the builder, Shaw Construction. It's now very much in business. The Stone and Webster unit was the den of racketeers. And they're going to be building. The Obama administration wants to give them a $4 billion loan guarantee to build a plant on the Gulf Coast of Texas.
Now, that was Shaw, right? That was the same company you were...
That's Shaw Construction. The guys who, the Stone and Webster nuclear unit, were found liable for committing a series of fraud, devastating financial and safety frauds in the building of nuclear plants. And by, you know, the government brought the case as jury finding. And the real punchline is their partner in the Gulf Coast, the South Texas nuclear plant, will be Tokyo Electric.
Mm-hmm.
The same guys you're seeing burning up Japan right now.
TEPCO.
The excuse was, and the third partner, there's mm-hmm. two more partners, there's Houston Power,
mm-hmm.
which went bankrupt, was fined $1 billion for incompetence in building two other plants on the south coast of Texas, went bankrupt. Because you have bankrupt, corrupt, and criminal companies attempting to build two more nuclear plants on the Gulf Coast. Obviously, their pedigree wasn't very good for winning the $4 billion government guarantee. So they said, well, don't worry about us, because we're going to bring in wonderful Tokyo Electric.
Oh, man.
Which will, and they will show us how they do it in Japan. They will show us how to build the plant and to operate the plant. You should see the propaganda stuff. You know, like, TEPCO's coming in, and therefore, these guys from Japan will really show us how to do it right. So nothing to worry about.
So they were literally hiding behind TEPCO to say that if you have worries about us, don't worry about us, because we're working with TEPCO, and these guys out in Japan, they know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. And by the way, they included, the plant is supposed to also be a Westinghouse reactor. But Westinghouse is not Westinghouse anymore. It's just a brand name bought by Toshiba of Japan. One of those three reactors, which is on fire right now, and I guess that's four, so now two of the four reactors are mm-hmm. Toshiba reactors. And very important there is that those reactors have all, their backup safety units, have all failed.
Right.
And it is one of the things that I investigated when I was doing the investigations for the government here. These are... nuclear plants are told they're safe because if anything goes wrong, they fire up these diesel motors, engines, big diesel engines, I mean, mm-hmm. they're big as houses, and they will pump in water, flood the nuclear plant with cool water, and you have nothing to worry about. There are 13 diesel engines at the Fukushima plant.
Yep.
All 13 failed.
Now, they failed, Greg, because apparently they did not fail in the earthquake. We believe they failed when this monster tsunami hit. Isn't that a freak of nature? Isn't that the last thing we have to worry about down in Texas, down in, I guess, Houston, where they're talking about building these two new plants?
No, not at all. First of all, the diesels were not affected by the earthquake, which is surprising. They weren't affected by the earthquake. They're not supposed to be.
Right.
They went on. The diesels began snapping before the tsunami hit.
Oh, did they?
So neither the earthquake nor the tsunami had anything to do with their breaking. These things are simply crap. They don't work. When we investigated, for example, the Shoreham nuclear plant, these diesel engines are basically decorations, okay?
Right.
They might as well put ribbons around the plant and say, well, the ribbons will keep them safe, yellow ribbons or something.
Mm.
They're crap, they're junk, they don't work. And we know that because when we tested these things at the Shoreham plant, what we found out was inside engineers are saying, well, they don't really run them, but they don't test them. They turn them on at low speed for a few minutes and say they work. That's like going into a used car dealer and he said, hey, this old Edsel runs beautifully. He turns it on, hear that motor, and turns it off. But you don't want to take it out a lot.
Right.
That's what happened. When we then forced the plant builder
mm-hmm.
to actually run the diesel engines, three diesel engines, under emergency conditions, that is quick on, full power for 24 hours. None of them lasted. One broke, the crankshaft broke in 1 hour, and the second and third, we call them snap, crackle, and pop. And what we found was that almost all the diesels in the United States simply cannot withstand the stress of an emergency. They can't do the job they're intended to do. And if they had equipment that was capable of doing the job they intended to do, each plant would cost another $1 billion, and so they don't want to spend the money. So they don't spend the money, and so the diesel engines you see at these nuclear plants, which are supposed to keep everyone safe, they don't forget it.
Nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about at all. Listen, Greg, unfortunately, I'm very short on time here. I want to point folks to truthout.org and to gregpalast.com, where you can read Greg's story on this Tokyo Electric to build U.S. nuclear plants, the no BS info on Japan's disastrous nuclear operations. In about 15, 20 seconds here, Greg, is this a done deal, this project with TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power, down in Texas? $4 billion.
What stuns me is the administration reendorsed it today, of all days.
Unbelievable. All right, read that full story at truthout.org. Hey, Greg, great talking to you as usual. Sorry it had to be so quick here tonight, but I really do appreciate your information on this, and of course, all that you do, my friend. Thank you, brother. Hope to see you soon.
All that you do too, Brad. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. All right, we're getting a late word here that the EPA says they are now deploying more radiation monitors to the West Coast. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Los Angeles Times is reporting that TEPCO has nearly finished with new electrical lines into the Fukushima Daiichi plant, but that won't help units 1, 2, or 3 reactors because their cooling systems themselves appear to have been damaged in those explosions that we've been watching over these past 4 or 5 days. We're going to continue watching this story in the days ahead. You can follow me, as I said, over at Twitter on the Brad Blog or at bradblog.com. My thanks today to Geoff and G and to Desi Doyen, Alan Minsky. Stay tuned for John Wiener coming up right now.
Just as phony as it can be, but it wouldn't be make-believe.